Let's open up with you telling us, what are the laws about texting and driving?
Currently in the state of Kentucky, it is against the law to send or receive a text or to use an electronic communication device while the vehicle is in motion. And the exceptions to that are making a phone call and using a GPS device. So from an enforcement standpoint, it's really hard to tell whether somebody is entering an address into a GPS or replying to a text or cycling through, scrolling through emails.
Is there a difference in the law as it applies to adults versus people under 18?
Yeah, under 18, they're prohibited from using that at all.
Well, how, in fact, do law enforcement officers deal with this situation?
It's a judgment and a discretion. The officer has to look and decide if that person is 18 or 17. It makes it somewhat difficult for officers to enforce. It kind of muddies the water as far as it's dangerous for people who are under 18. Well, it's just as dangerous for people who are over 18, and we kind of have the discussion or the quandary of which is more dangerous to the motoring public, the 55-year-old man who's driven for, say, 40 years, but been texting for 6 months, or the 16-year-old girl who has been driving for 6 months, but has texted all her life. And I would say those are both equally dangerous. They're both distracted and not paying attention to what they're doing.
Don, would you say that both situations are pretty much every day? Everybody is doing this.
Yeah, I guess my own prejudice, I thought it would be young kids. You know, I thought when we started doing the pilot program in the fall of 2013, I thought we would find the 17, 18, 19-year-olds texting and doing that. We have found it crosses all age groups, all socioeconomic groups, genders, race. There's not a typical violator. It's everybody. And I think part of the problem is we've made such strides in technology in our society. So we've evolved so much technologically, but we've not evolved in our use of technology. And when do people need to be able to get a hold of us, and how do we communicate, and what's an appropriate way to send communication? And we've not really prioritized it. I don't need to, there's some information that I need to know right away, and maybe I should pick up my phone and call my wife. And then there's some information that, if she lets me know in the next hour or so, I can, that would be plenty timely, and I could send a text for that. And then if it's something that's really detailed, or, I can wait until 2 or 3 days later, I could send an email. But I don't do that. I have a tendency just to fire off a text, and we need to kind of retrain ourselves to manage technology.
You mentioned a pilot program. What is that?
We partnered with the Department of Transportation and the Kentucky Office of Highway Safety to do texting enforcement, and we're part of a program that they did in the fall, and then we just participated again in the spring, doing texting enforcement, where we observe for violators and then issue citations.
Have you been personally, or has the department been witness to tragedy due to texting while driving?
Yeah, probably the one that stands out the most in that's been our experience has been the Hillary Cothart texting and driving crash that she had on September 1st, 2007. She was texting and driving and had a horrific accident on I-24. And since then, she has started to recover, and she's gotten her speech back and is developing. And she is the center of and the driving force behind the Heads Up, Don't Be Intoxicated program that the Utica Police Department partnered with the Cothart family to generate. And we started at Paducah Tillman. We talked to about 900 students there. And since then, we've been out in the community and talked to various civic groups, high schools and associations, and just trying to get the word out so that people can look at the texting and driving in a different light and see the danger that it is. You know, I hate to say that we're trying to change people's minds, but I think we're trying to get them to have more information and get them to make a different decision, or get them to make that decision again. And the decision is to not be distracted. I liken distracted driving to drunk driving. Just 20 or 30 years ago, drunk driving was a significant problem in our community. And through education and enforcement and the efforts of groups like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, we've been able to significantly reduce that and make some significant strides in our drunk driving fatalities or alcohol-related fatalities. That's our goal with the Heads Up, Don't Be Intoxicated program, is for people to make a conscious decision to be an attentive driver and paying attention to what they're doing. Get them to reevaluate their technology and the way that they share information and when do they need to get it. Driving is already a three-dimensional event. We're managing a 4,000 to 6,000 pound missile, and we don't need to be distracted while we're doing it.
You mentioned at the outset that there is an exception for using the GPS, but that's pretty distracting in its own right.
Yes. I would say that it is just as bad as sending or receiving a text. However, that was the law that the legislature passed. That's what we have to work with. So I think the problem of distracted driving will be solved in three prongs. One will be enforcement from law enforcement. And the second would be education through programs like the Heads Up, Don't Be Intoxicated, and some of the other ones that the cell phone companies are engaged in. And I think the third prong is eventually consumers will demand applications for their phone that don't let text messages or emails come through while the phone's moving. And I think through those three things, we'll be able to reduce the tragedies that we have on our roadways.
Is the latter technology in development, the ability to stall the reception of messages or text messages or emails when a phone is in motion?
I know that some of the major carriers are looking at that, and that is my understanding is that it's in research and development now. And there may be some applications that you can download on your phone to stall those or to not let them come through.
Well, the really best solution is to just keep your phone away from you unless you're in an emergency situation. Wouldn't that be the way to do it, and then be pulling off or stopped?
Yeah, I would recommend that you just put your phone on silent when you're driving, and set it aside. If you're taking a long road trip and you're expecting an important call, then maybe set your text and email to silent and your phone to ring through, because it's easier to answer your phone or get a hands-free device. Or if you're traveling with somebody, have them be your designated texter. You know, we talk about having a designated driver. If we all had designated texters, we would be a lot safer. I got 7 and 8 year old boys, and they're my designated texter for me. If my wife sends a text and needs something, I'll give the phone to them, and they'll read the text to me, and I'll tell them, what to text back to mommy.
Well, that's a great solution for you. Is there anything you'd like to add about this particular problem? Are police departments all over the Commonwealth engaging in educational programming?
I don't know. This is the only one that I'm familiar with, the Heads Up, Don't Be Intoxicated. We've got a grant to bring it to other communities, and we would love to get the word out and bring this program to as many people as we can and get them to make a different decision about being an attentive driver. And they can contact Officer Gretchen Morgan at the Paducah Police Department, and she can help them schedule a program in their community.
Well, thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Sure.